Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And welcome into the Playbook on a Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook with you here. Eric Scalavino from PFW is off on Tuesdays. He will rejoin us here in the Playbook on Wednesday. In fact, I know already Kevin's been hard at work. We've got a huge program on Wednesday and Thursday to set up things with the Cincinnati Bengals for this next Sunday. So that'll be coming tomorrow and Thursday. But that doesn't mean that we don't have something to offer today, because as many of you know, it is Nitpick Tuesday. And we just take some time to review, look through, thumb through, examine, put under the microscope, whatever you want to call it. But we'll go through what transpired Sunday night in Atlanta. Fortunately for the Patriots, it turned out to be a W. And as many of you know, I did not pick the Patriots to win last week. Many of you did. I'm sure many of you were saying, ha ha. And, you know, hey, you're an idiot or you're a dummy or what. Look. Nobody's happier than me, trust me. From a media perspective, nobody's happier when this team wins. I'm also, frankly, I guess I'm a little selfish when they lose, because frankly, I know that makes for great discussion on the radio the next week. I'm not in this for winning and losing. What I'm in this for is discussion, sharing, you know, the camaraderie of, you know, being football fans and knowledgeable football people, exchanging ideas, and sure, the fan part of it is some of it. We all love to follow a winner. But our job is to give you what we think is the best case scenario, trying to look at it somewhat down the middle of the road. We understand that you're going to look at it one way for the most part. And if you're not a fan of the team, and you're going to look at it the other way for the opposition, and that's fine because that's what people do. I'm, you know, happy that they won. We're also going to be here today, though, to tell you what we think, you know, are the, you know, couple of things that we thought could possibly have been done differently, should be done differently. That's why we call it Nitpick Tuesday, to sort of reexamine and reassess and look at things the way that, you know, now that we've had a chance to evaluate. Rest assured that by the time we come on the air with this program at 2 o'clock Eastern time on a Tuesday, that the coaching staff has already done the very same thing that we are doing, because they've already looked at the film. They've already looked at all the videotape. They've already looked at all the photos. They've already probably had the position meetings and discussions and said, this is what we need to change. This is what we need to work on for this next week. So they're already well underway with the things that we're just now identifying. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The fun part of Nitpick Tuesday comes from, let's see if they actually address this problem. More often than not, they have. And they do address the problems that we identify on Tuesdays, because I like to think that it's because we're all knowledgeable football fans and we're knowledgeable football observers in the media. You know, as many of you know, I've been around this franchise now for more than 25, 26 seasons. This is my 21st as an employee of the team. So, you know, I kind of know the way things are done around here. And so my perspective is to try to give you a little bit of that flavor, but also, you know, look at it from a purely football perspective, taking into consideration who runs the ship, the players that are in the locker room, and just a best guess venture. Now, I am surprised that they won. I would tell you that I'm not stunned. I really did think Atlanta would win. My prediction last week was 24-23. By the way, Kevin, I don't think we had anybody nail it again this week, did we?
No. I have, you know, someone would have like resent in the email.
There's no question.
No.
There's no question. And frankly,
and we had a lot of our fans, John, that were picking the Falcons to win.
We did. We had a bunch of people. So this
is probably even fewer kind of combinations,
right,
that would have worked out.
That's what I thought. Nobody picked 30-23. I did get, however, a Facebook posting from a follower of the program who said I missed by 1 point. Said it was, I guess he selected 31-23 Patriots. And it ended up being 30-23. And I'm sorry, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. And nuclear bombs. That's it. You get close in those regards, then you're pretty good shape. But, no. So, that's why we play the game. Sorry, that's why we play the game. And we'll play it again this week on Prediction Thursday. We got close this week. Missed by a point. But that point is big. Just off the top of my head. By the way, let me, how you get a hold of us here on the program. We want to start getting some interaction here, so let's roll. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, or the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. That's how you get us here. Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is how you spell the last name. And then, of course, Twitter. And by the way, thank you for the nearly, let's see, we've been doing this, this is week five of the show. And so now we've been going on for, I picked up about an extra, almost an extra 100 Twitter followers. So that's great. I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun actually for me getting to know new people and new fans and have them tune in. And maybe they haven't, you know, been a part of the program in the past and what we've been doing here over the course of the last now 13 seasons. But it's great. At JR Broadcaster is how you reach us on Twitter. At JR Broadcaster, all one word, and that's how you can follow us on Twitter, and we have some fun with that. Now, and I do answer tweets during the show, as well as the emails and everything else, and the Facebook posts. I have two questions to start it off with before I get into sort of my, you know, recollections of the game on Sunday night and where I thought, you know, some turning points were and maybe some things that you may or may not have noticed about Sunday. Number one, this being Nitpick Tuesday, need your areas of improvement. What are the little things, what are the little things you watched that you saw or you listened to that you feel like are correctable situations or something that certainly needs to be addressed this week? And then of course there's a huge nitpick and you gotta figure out a way to fix Vince and or the problem there with him being out of the lineup, and I'm gonna get to that in a moment. But there are some real nitpicks that you can come up with, and the first nitpick that I'm going to give you, and I'll share my other ones with you as the course of the program progresses here, because I don't want to give them all away. I want you to come up with your own ideas as well. But the biggest nitpick that I have certainly is still going to come through execution. In the last 6 minutes of the game, when Atlanta made its, you know, its run, and came within a knocked away fourth down pass by Aqib Talib of technically sending that game into overtime and having a chance to steal it, when the Patriots controlled that game really from the outset, after the Falcons got up 3-0, that game for the next 53-52 minutes was completely in New England's control. Completely. So it would have been a real shame to get down that far. So my first nitpick is over game management at the end. And obviously the biggest nitpick would have been with the fourth and one that where the snap was fumbled by Tom. And that's the second time that that's happened this year. So clearly that tells me there's an issue between Brady and Ryan Wendell. And that's an issue that needs to be addressed. Because as our friend Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia has tried to point out that, you know, he really believes that, you know, Tim Tebow would have been a better option and would still be a better option when it's first and goal inside the 10. And as many of you ad nauseum, I might add, and I've also tried to explain that Tom is one of the best, maybe in the history of the NFL, to convert on short yardage situations. But he's had two distinct failures this year, even though the team is 4-0. But it's an issue that needs to be addressed, i.e. a nitpick. And that's the first one I'll leave you with. The second question, by the way, I'm going to apologize right off the top of the show here. We're 20 minutes deep. I have been fighting a huge allergy fit that turned into a full-blown head cold over the weekend. So I may have to stop and swallow and swig some water and all that kind of stuff. So take it easy on me today. I really need you guys to carry the show today, because if I'm forced to talk for the next hour and 40 minutes left, I might not be here tomorrow. And that's the truth, because I may not have a voice left. So, you know, just a lot of allergens in the air where I live in Berkeley out on the cranberry bog. They're harvesting the cranberries on the bog. I don't know if you knew that or not, Kevin, but they spent the last 2 days, you know, flooding the bogs and bringing the thrashers in, and those things are floating to the top, and it's absolutely gorgeous. You go to my Facebook page, you'll see the pictures.
I saw those that you posted right from your backyard, right?
Yesterday, my girlfriend's mother went out there with a big kettle. And said, hey, any chance I can get some of those? And the owner of the bog turned over about 5 pounds worth for nothing.
Wasn't that really nice?
Very nice.
So when you're, you know, when you're going through your holiday season and
I'm going to have cranberry bread out the wazoo.
Yeah, or you know, maybe drop them off a loaf of bread or a piece of pie.
Absolutely.
You know, pass it on.
We're going to pass
it forward.
I'll be bringing some by here, by the way.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be Robin's homemade cranberry bread. It'll be a part of the show.
Can't wait.
Yeah, no dead weight. This is good. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Bart.
Bart Scott.
Yes, thank you, Bart. Appreciate that. Do we need to talk about Big Vince and Big Y?
Oh, yeah, we should play that.
We'll talk about that. That's coming up in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. So that's part of the reason why the cold came on, because the allergens have been stirred up in the air because they've been doing all this in the cranberry bog, because I live on a cranberry bog in Berkeley, Mass. So it's been a lot of fun, very educational process for me, but I'm struggling here with the throat, so I need you to help pick up the stress and pick up the strain today and some of the contributions. Otherwise, may have to do a little calling in sick for the first time in 13 years. So there ain't much here, so we need to get this well. So in addition to your nitpicks, I've got a question to ask, and it's a pretty obvious question, but I really want you to give this some consideration, because as we all know, the major consideration that came out of the game on Sunday night is Vince Wilfork, and his Achilles injury. His wife, earlier today tweeted out, his wife Bianca tweeted out a photo of his surgery. He did have surgery earlier today on his torn right Achilles to reattach everything. And she tweeted out a picture. If you follow Bianca Wilfork, it's at Mrs. 75. Matt, it's at MRS 75. You want to follow her. For those of you that might not be following her. And of course, Big Vince is at Wilfork 75. You want to follow him too if you're not already. But she tweeted out the photo today. He's given the thumbs up, but the right leg, the right foot is ensconced in the cast. And he had two things about this. Number one, glad he had the surgery now, because now the rehab process can already begin. And hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, that he will be ready to play, be ready to go by the time OTAs roll around next spring. And that will be a good thing. But the question of the day that I have for you is how best do the Patriots make up for his absence in the middle of the lineup? We know that he's got prodigious shoes to fill. Huge shoes to fill. No one person is going to be able to fill it. But I'm going to give you a blank check. You're going to get a chance to play Bill Belichick here, as I know a lot of you love to do whenever we do these kinds of questions here, because everybody here loves to compare themselves to the master, the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Belichick. So I'm going to give you a chance to do that today. How best do you plug the gap of Big Vince? How do you take advantage of this opportunity? Nobody really wants to have this opportunity. I think we'd all rather have Wilfork in the lineup, but he's gone. He's out after 4 weeks. You've got 12 weeks left of regular season football and hopefully at least three, if not four, more weeks thereafter in the playoffs. How best do the Patriots adapt to his absence in the lineup? You've got a blank checkbook. Do we go out and get somebody? Do we rotate people in? Are there street free agents? I need you to come up with your best plan as a Patriots fan / GM today. How do the Patriots repair Vince in the lineup? Very simple. How do you replace him? And can you? Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, and, of course, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. On Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. Follow me on Twitter. And you can respond to that with your nitpicks today. And that's how we're going to carry the course of the afternoon. Now, couple of quick things before I get to some of the phone calls here. I have, in all honesty, really good vibes about this team. Better, I'm going to tell you, you know, a lot of you have criticized, and you're certainly within your rights to do this. A lot of you have criticized myself and Eric for our gloom and doom predictions before the season started when we opened up, you know, the schedule. And he said 9-7, and I said 10-6, and I thought that injuries would be a problem. And lo and behold, look what's happened. Big injury. It doesn't get much bigger than Vince Wilfork being gone for the season now, does it? I can think of one bigger injury, and I'm not even going to name it because, by golly, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it. So there, how's that? But you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, so in that regard, injuries could very easily play a factor with this team. But I'm here to tell you that even though this is the second biggest injury that this team could suffer this year, that I'm here to tell you that I actually feel better about this team now after the injury and after these first 4 weeks than I did before the season started. This is not a complete mea culpa, but it rather is an evolution of the way things are unfolding and the development of a team that I wasn't sure we would see. Now, some of you may say, oh, yeah, well, I saw it. Well, you're lying. You're not. You didn't see it. Nobody saw this coming. Because we all expected this team to arrive at this place differently. Most of us expected this team to be a heck of a lot better offensively than it has been. And we've seen some steps. We've seen some gradual improvement over the course of the last 2 weeks. We saw Kenbrell Tompkins take another step. We saw Josh Boyce come in and begin to take a step, largely because Aaron Dobson went down on Sunday. And we don't know what Dobson's status is going to be yet, and we won't start to know that until tomorrow. But the fact is that we're beginning to see some growth, and we're beginning to see Brady connect, and we're beginning to see Brady's confidence in his younger guys start to take some kind of shape. And might I add that I know that it went right down to basically the last minute before they got on the plane or didn't get on the plane, but I know that we have to be a step closer to having both Gronk and Amendola back. I thought there was a 50-50 chance. I thought there was a better than 50-50 chance that Gronkowski would play last week. I did. I didn't think Amendola would go. I would have been surprised, stunned, actually, if he had gotten on the plane. I thought Gronk would have gotten on the plane, but would have been a game-time call. He didn't. Either one. But I do think now that there's an even more increased chance that both of these guys will be back this week for Cincinnati. Certainly Gronkowski, because now this is week 5. And if you don't bring him back by week 6, then why the hell didn't you IR him? You know, with, you know, trying to bring him back. You could have done that. Now, granted, you can only do that to one player, and they've already done that with Vereen, so it's probably turned out for the better anyway. But I do believe that this is the target area. They could have done that, or they could have put him on the PUP, and then you have to make a decision by week 6. And so really, that would have saved a roster spot. It might have actually saved Tim Tebow, Big Al. You never know. So that's why I think this week is the week for Gronk. Because they thought he was going to be further along than the PUP list, which means you have to make a decision by week 6. This is week 5, so this is his chance to come back early. And this is the Patriots' chance now to prove that they were not wrong about Rob Gronkowski and his health and his progress in coming back. That's what this week is. If he comes back this week, they save face. They say, hey, look, we knew all along that he was going to be healthy enough to come back. So there you go. I think Gronk is back this week. We'll find out more. Of course, we don't know what will happen over the next 2 days of practices on Wednesday and Thursday. All things are up for grabs. My guess is that he'll be limited participation in practice this week. Who knows? If he's full participation, well, then that ought to tell you. Rest assured, Cincinnati will be preparing for the return of Rob Gronkowski this week. That's one thing. But I'm turning it around somewhat. Because this was a game that I thought this team would lose, and they won it. So it stands to reason now that, all right, so they won this. If they don't do the opposite and they don't lose a game that they should win, and I think we all know that this does happen just about every year. It does happen. So I want to prepare you for that eventuality. But to me and to you, shouldn't the New England Patriots already be kind of like one step ahead of the game? I think the answer is yes. you should consider. This is now you're playing with a little house money. You got a game that you didn't think you were going to get. So now that you're playing with a little house money, how do you best take advantage of that? The answer is let's build some momentum. Let's keep going. You know, you're one of what? Five teams now left that are undefeated in the NFL. I don't know where you rank them. I know most Pats fans probably have them 1, 2, or 3. I think I'd put the Patriots. I think I'd put the Patriots probably 4 right now. I'd have them ahead of Kansas City, but based on watching New Orleans last night, I think I'd have them slightly behind the Saints just because of the obvious offensive firepower that we see that Drew Brees and company still have. And, of course, that question will decide itself in week after next when the Saints are here. But you're playing with some house money now. So, yeah, I feel better about the team, believe it or not, even with Vince's absence, than I did a month ago when we were first starting this thing. And am I willing to say that they might improve by a win or a win this year? Yeah, sure. Now my expectation is 11-5. I said 10-6. I'm going to adjust. They won a game that I didn't think they would win, so I'm going 11-5 now. You might be shooting for bigger things. What are your thoughts on that? 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Leading us off, Steve and Killeen. Steve, you're in the playbook. How's it going?
Going well, John. You already hit on some of the highlight points that I had for my Nets, but as execution,
yeah,
I'm gonna do what I normally do and take a twist. What was up with the replay? It's a multi-million dollar system.
The system, yeah, the system just failed. It had a glitch. They basically, from what I understand, they had to basically, you know, power everything down and reboot it. And that does happen with mechanical things from time to time, as you probably are aware with your, you know, computer and everything else that you deal with. That happens. So, you know, but the game has existed for decades without electronics. And you just go back to the rules, and this is something I'm sure that'll have to be addressed by the rule committee, but I think the officiating crew made the right call that, okay, we don't have replay, so the Patriots shouldn't be charged a timeout, which is the proper move to make. And the officials then, without replay, do the best doggone job they can, and you're just gonna have to live with human error. And that's what we did for decades in the NFL. So I don't really see any problem, and I don't really see that this is any huge thing for us to nitpick over.
It's not huge, and that's why it's a nitpick. But my greater concern is Sudfeld and kind of his lack of production, John, as far as an actual net.
Whose production?
Zach.
Oh, Sudfeld. Yes. Okay. That's a great one, and I'll be honest with you. That was my number three. We'll see if somebody can get my number two. But Sudfeld was my number three. Go ahead.
And I'm hoping with the return of Gronk coming back, we'll be able to see some production out of him, because they're going to be game planning for Gronk and allow Sudfeld to actually hopefully live up to the possibilities and the potential that he supposedly has.
Well, you know, that problem will kind of take care of itself, Steve, because if Gronk comes back, Sudfeld doesn't see the light of day. In fact, he might even be inactive.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It just depends on what they want to do, you know, formation-wise. I mean, clearly, Hooman has taken the lead reins at tight end now. They wanted Sudfeld to do it. He can't. He's not ready. Guy can't hold on to a ball now to save his life. And I think we saw that on the onside kick attempt. So, you know, dude has got the same kind of problem that Stephen Ridley's got. And that is being able to hold on to the ball. And what happened to Stephen Ridley? And what happens to people that fumble the ball? They're not here very long.
No.
But he's not costing him anything, because he's at a rookie minimum. They're going to give him a chance to work through his problems and his issues. And, you know, he may very well find himself inactive on a few games this year when Gronk does come back and things work out. And maybe that'll give him a chance. I don't know. I hope for his sake it works out, because, you know, physically he could grow into that body that he's got and I think be a very effective tight end. And I think that's why the Patriots have kept him around and had him make the team to begin with.
Well, and that's just it, John. You know, possible potential with him and Gronk, just given size and how they can actually command the field. And technically, when you look at how he fumbled that, he wasn't trying to catch with his hands. He was trying to bring it into his body. And, you know, that's the major difference in a caliber receiver, you know, guys like Chris Carter and those who are true hand catchers where the ball's away from their body versus trying to bring it in, which generate all types of ricochets and things that can lead to what we saw.
Sure.
But to the other concern with Wolford, I'd like to see us develop internally and take the guys that we have behind him with AJ and I believe it's Marcus and having them trying to step into that role, even if it's, you know, what Patricia's doing with rotating guys in and out to keep some fresh legs and a bit of unpredictability for what's there. You know, I don't know as far as size and speed for those guys, if that's a concern. You know, if the trade-off is we get somebody who's a smaller body but it's quicker,
right,
that might work to our advantage.
Okay.
But, you know.
Good observation, Steve. Yeah, absolutely. I'm buying it. I'm on your page.
Yeah, and on the heels of that, you know, as you've already said, you know, Godspeed to Vince and Bianca and for his quick speed recovery, because I'd love to have him back next year.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Well, of course, and I think that he'll use this time, you know. Actually, I hate to say this, but I think most things always turn out for a reason, for the best, and we all realize that Big Vince has taken some pounding over the years, and this is actually going to save a little life to his wheels, I think, believe it or not.
No, I believe you on that one, John. As far as, you know, one, I know how long that this type of injury takes.
Sure.
And the rehab and all those things that are going to get
involved. It can take a year, which is why I'm really like an ACL, you know, you're talking about something that's completely severed itself or torn away from the bone. So, you know, this can take a while to heal. And so you want to make sure that you do it right. You don't want any, you know, mess ups with infections and stuff like Gronk has been having to deal with his broken arm. And I'm really happy to hear that it happened 2 days after, less than 48 hours after the injury, he had surgery. Now, that's what it's supposed to be about right there. That's the way to do it. He is being extremely proactive, and I know that he'll be a part of things, and you know he'll be in the locker room, and he'll still be a visible presence, if not an audible presence in the locker room. And that pleases me as a fan to know that, you know, he's not going to leave any stones unturned here, and he's going to coach, and he's going to advise, and he's going to guide, and he's going to rehab, and he's still going to be around, and he's going to come back with renewed, you know, enthusiasm, and his batteries recharged next year. I'm sure that Vince Steele feels like he's got 3 to 5 years left, and I'm sure he's going to approach it just like that.
Oh, no doubt there, John. So, and you know, I'm pleased again with what we've been talking about since the season began: maturation.
Yeah. Agreed. We're seeing signs of that, Steve. Great point. We're seeing signs of maturation. You know, maturity comes slowly. It's not going to happen overnight. All I'm doing is I'm looking at this team from a long-range perspective, and whether or not I see some growth, and I can say positively over the course of, you know, the last 3 weeks now, if not four, I'm seeing step by step, and that is good enough for me, and that's why I've adjusted my, you know, win-loss, and I've given them an extra game because they got a game I didn't think they'd get.
Yeah, I mean, in looking at it on paper and looking at what Atlanta had, you know, just to punk the PFW guys and you a little bit, John, you know, you got to get the stats are what they say they are, but you still got to play the game. Atlanta definitely had the weapons, and, you know, I don't think anybody in their right mind would have expected the game from Gonzalez that he had.
No, but that told me, though, that the game plan was to take out, you know, Julio Jones. Yeah, they were going to let Roddy White basically go one-on-one, which they did. They split the time and coverage. You know, Aqib ended up spending about half of his time on Roddy and half of his time on Julio. But it also told me, though, that they were going to let Gonzalez or whomever have a day because they thought that their best chance of getting a win was, okay, we'll give Gonzalez his underneath stuff, but we're going to shut down the wideouts. And for the most part, they did that. And I think Aqib Talib is showing us now that, you know, the Patriots, you know, I don't know whether they will or not. I tend to think that they probably won't. But Aqib Talib, if he continues on this pace, he's going to be one rich man next year. I just don't think it'll be the Patriots that'll give him the money. He's a shutdown corner, Steve. He is a shutdown corner. There are very few of those guys in the league that you can say that about. Through the first 4 weeks of this season, he leads the NFL with 4 picks. That's a shutdown corner.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I'm hoping that, you know, Jonathan Kraft busts open his piggy bank from Dad and says, "Let's keep him."
Well, I hope that they try. I hope they work something out. I do. I'm gonna guess that, you know, I'd be stunned if it happened before the season was over. But I think that, you know, at least you got to give it some consideration whether or not you can work it under your own cap, because you know that Hernandez is going to count hugely on the cap next year. So you got to, you know, I'm just saying now, I think it's in play. I definitely think it's in play, because this guy is taking advantage of the system as it presents itself to him, and he is going full bore. He's having already, we're at the quarter pole of the season, but you can see he's got all pro written all over this year.
Oh, no doubt about that, John, and it's nice to be in that greater than 85 percentile for the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, there you go, right? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, fellas, have a great one. John, I'm going to work on some barbecue sauce, jalapeno, cornbread, and brisket for you.
Steve, you are in my thoughts daily, my man.
like the pads, I'm on the mend and things are going well.
I'm glad to hear that. God bless. I hope you stay in touch with me, you know, not only on air but offline as well, because I'd be interested to see how things are going. And believe me, you're in my thoughts, big man. I'm glad you're doing well.
All right, appreciate it, John.
Thank you, Steve. You got it. Steve in Killeen, Texas. Well, you know, I have to admit, I've got a little trepidation going this route, because I have taken several Facebook posts, I've taken some tweets, a couple of emails. People say that they're going to go the other way if I let this guy back on the show. So, Big Al and Valdosta, here's your shot, buddy. Yeah, this tells you now that I consider us, you know, friends. I consider us I consider us a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am a big giver of second, third, and 18th chances.
I don't know what I need a second chance for. I just have an opinion. If it's not shared by other people, so what?
Okay. I'm costing
you listeners, and I regret that, but that says a lot more about the people that are tuning, you know, that are walking away in a huff.
Because they're mad at me.
And throwing little rocks in the air and being little children, and it says about me.
Al, they're mad at me because I'm giving you the forum.
Well, that they shouldn't be mad at you either. They should just deal with it and have their own opinion and call in and tell me that I'm full of crap on your show.
Okay.
That's what they should do.
All right.
Rather than acting like a 3-year-old.
I agree, Al.
Duly noted.
The more calls, the better.
Duly noted. Duly noted. And by the way, Al, I want you to know, even though I've gotten several more emails to the negative, I got a tweet last week from a guy who had never tweeted and rarely listened to the show, and he just happened to be listening, I don't know, when it was 2 weeks ago when we had our original discussion on the whole goal-to-go thing, and he said he had more fun listening to that show than he had had in a long time, and he's going to continue to tune in and listen. So, see, you got a fan there, too.
Well, there you go. I promise I won't mention the name Tim Tebow this week. I will not mention it.
Okay. Good. All right, so I need to ask you, though, first and foremost, before we get to the nitpick, because I value your opinion here. You're going to play Bill Belichick now. How do you fill Big Vince's gap?
You know, you have teed it up, John Rook. You are a true professional.
Good. Way to go.
I am looking at a list of available defensive tackles.
All right.
According to Adam Kaplan.
Yep.
And this is September 27th, so just a few days ago.
All right.
And there are no less than 5 former New England Patriots on that list. And we all know how Bill likes to bring back guys that know the system and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, name them. Who are they?
They are Richard Seymour. We can kind of tune him out. He's taken himself out of the running.
I think he has, but yeah.
And I take him at his word. He's kind of like me. He has an opinion. You don't like it? Deal with it.
But I'll tell you what. I wouldn't be at all surprised if a trial balloon didn't get floated.
Well, you know, I'd love to have him back. I think he's a great player. But, you know, if he doesn't want to come back, if he feels like they stung him on near Labor Day when they traded him and the kids are in school and all that, then God bless Richard Seymour.
Yeah.
If he has that opinion.
Okay.
All right. Now, Ty Warren is on the list.
Yeah.
I always liked Ty Warren. Myron Pryor is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Former Patriot.
Both
Ron
guys
Brace
that...
didn't like Ron Brace as much. He's on the list.
Right.
And my favorite, and if he's available, if this is really true, you know, you see a lot of things on the internet that don't turn out to be true.
Right.
If this is really true, I hyped this guy last year. I'm sorry we lost him. Kyle Love is on the list. Mm. Now, if he's really available, he'd be my first choice, personally.
See, now, I totally and 110% agree with you, because the other guys on the list, maybe with the exception of Seymour because of how he left here, but the other three guys you mentioned all left here because of injuries.
Right.
So
right.
that, they, I mean, it's not like they didn't
well,
like
Ty
them.
Ty Warren, I think, went free agent.
Well, no, they actually, they let him go. They just, they cut him loose because they didn't think he was up to physical stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought he signed a deal out there.
No. Well, the Patriots let him go because he just physically wasn't up to the demands they had on him.
Well, that's, I apologize. It's been a couple, I forgot.
It's been 2-3 years.
Yeah. But Kyle Love, I'd like to have back.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that one. I'll tell you somebody else who I'd like to have back there. It would be Myron Pryor.
Okay.
Another one, too. I would bring him back before I'd bring the other ones back, I think.
Would you? Okay.
I think I would.
What do you like about Pryor?
I just thought that he had pretty good quickness, and I know that I did a few University of Kentucky games a couple of years ago, and the people at Kentucky spoke extremely highly of him as a character individual and great kid, wonderful to be around. We were so thrilled when he made the Patriots, yada, yada. And I just, to me, I think that's the kind of locker room presence that this team and this franchise wants. It didn't happen for Myron, again, because of the nagging injury problems that he had. So I think they just kind of agreed to disagree in part company, but if he's healthy and they can determine he's healthy, I'd love to see him come back.
Well, there you go. Well, that's, you know, if we're looking for a journeyman, and I know you're, you went, you, thank you for straightening out those juvenile delinquents over on PFW, you know, for the, what that really means.
But we always try to help.
There you go. Nice job, John. But if we're looking for a journeyman, defensive lineman, then I guess I'd say Kyle Love because I like him and you like Pryor because you saw him play in college and, you know, maybe flip a coin between those two guys, I guess. If we're going to get to now, maybe we have somebody on the practice squad that we like. I don't know. I don't know the Patriots practice squad as much as I be.
Yeah, there are a couple of moves they can make. I think A.J. Francis was one, and the other name escapes me. I think there's another one on the squad because I don't have the list in front of me. So my guess is that once it becomes official, and it won't really need to become official, I don't think, until tomorrow, when the first injury report comes out, that you'll probably see them make a move from the practice squad and put Vince on season-ending IR, and they'll probably make a promotion. But that also means then that they'll look to fill that spot on the practice squad once they elevate. So it'll be interesting to see if any of these guys has practice squad eligibility so they can bring him back in under the practice squad, determine whether or not he's got some viability left this season, and then make another move accordingly.
There you go. Just sort of bring him in for a cup of coffee to check him out.
Yeah.
See if you want to do something.
Yeah. I
think that would be a great way to handle that.
I totally agree.
It is early enough in the season that you could maybe make a reasonable evaluation of somebody. You wouldn't feel like you're hurried into making a decision faster than you would, you know.
I totally agree. See, Al, I want all of our good listeners, our faithful listeners here in the Playbook to understand that we can actually have a absolutely intelligent football conversation.
I know that you don't take any of this personally. See, the people out there, they're making the mistake of thinking that you're taking it personally, so they're defending you saying you got to keep Al off your show. You and I both know that you don't take it personally.
No, and honestly, I think they realize that, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do over the course of...
They think they're sticking up for you.
They might, and that's fine if they do, but I would tell you that, you know, through 13 years of doing this program, what we try to do is we try to elevate our level of knowledge within football. We like to think that the fans and others who listen to this program are already pretty knowledgeable in the sport. That we can talk down a level if we need to someone who might not understand it as much, who hasn't been around it as much. And I'm talking about I'm not denigrating toward anybody.
Right.
But I'm also talking about how I believe our fan base is extremely knowledgeable on this team.
I think you're right.
So,
well, listen. I, as far as nitpick goes, let me get to that. I agree with everything about the last 6 minutes, so I'm not going to replow all of that.
Good.
But the good news is that everybody kind of chipped into making the last 6 minutes kind of too exciting for your own good or whatever. You know, it wasn't like you can pin it on one thing.
Right.
The special teams didn't recover that first onside kick. Brady had the fumble, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And the defense, I mean, Tony Gonzalez, a great ball player. He's a Hall of Fame, but geez, we could never stop that guy.
Well,
we had one guy on him, bracketed him, leaving him open. He just had a career night almost.
And
he won that game by himself almost.
And Al, you have set me up beautifully for nitpick number two. You know, my number one nitpick obviously was the Brady and connection with Ryan Wendell. My nitpick number three was Zach Sudfeld. My nitpick number two, is coverage on Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
And so you set me up well on that one. And I would tell you that, the Patriots linebackers as a whole have problems in coverage.
Okay.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. And I know Spikes does. He's a run stuffer and you can't expect Spikes to be running around the field.
But I think
people.
That's also part of the reason why they made the decision to try to shut down, you know, Julio in particular, pick your poison, and they wanted Gonzalez to beat them, and he had a big day. But guess what? Who has the W?
The New England Patriots. This reminds me of, and you talked about journeyman. You know, back in the day, my favorite Patriots team of all time is still really the '76 Patriots that lost to Oakland and that rough call out there.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's always, you know, it's always kind of like the one that got away. You know, it's sort of like the girl you dated and the cheerleader from high school or college, and then the family moved to California or something. She got away. You know, so that's still my favorite Patriots team because of the way that season ended. But we played the Raiders after losing to them before losing to them in the playoffs. We played them during the regular season in Foxborough.
Right.
Beat them 48-17.
Right.
Dave Kasper, their tight end, had like 200 yards in receptions. They just let Dave Kasper run up and down the field. They shut down the wideouts, and we beat them by like 30 points. So you can do that with a tight end. You can sort of leave the tight end alone a little bit, and you figure, well, they're not going to get the big hunks of plays, the big hunks of yards out of the tight end position.
Right, okay. Sure.
It's been done before.
Yeah.
But listen, I have my last nitpick is on the officials.
Okay.
And it's not really their fault. The pass interference call is kind of like the block charge call in basketball. It's just an inherently tough call to make. And the official is usually making it when they're moving. You know, they're trying to chase the play downfield. They're not stationary. It's so much easier to see anything when you're stationary as opposed to when you're moving. So it's a tough call. But I really think it's time for the NFL to at least to consider adopting some version, or maybe the same rule if they want to, as the colleges. In other words, with these downfield, so you avoid these 45, 50, 55-yard penalties, effectively, against the defense, on what can really be a borderline call that could go either way. Or in the case of Sunday night, that was an awful call on Tlaib. Clearly, Roddy White pushed off. I mean, it was right out in the open, and he just pushed him on. It was so blatant, and yet they called it on Tlaib. And to his credit, he didn't get too bent out of shape about it.
Yeah.
But I thought that he would really explode on that. It was just a horrible call. And then it set the Falcons up, like I say, about a 40, 50-yard gain on a really bad call. I don't know why you don't change that from being a spot foul to just a yardage call. In colleges, it's 15 yards. Maybe the NFL thinks 15 yards is not enough. Maybe you want to make it 20 yards. We don't have any 20-yard penalties right now, but we never had a 10-yard penalty.
Right.
Before offensive pass interference, or excuse me, offensive holding, as you recall, John, used to be traditionally a 15-yard penalty.
Correct.
For years, it was a 15-yard penalty.
Correct.
And then they decided, well, you know, maybe that's a drive killer, so let's move it to just
Well, the competition committee, I think, did that partly because as they were moving the game into more of a pass-happy era, they didn't want teams getting flagged, you know, and losing momentum.
There you go.
They're trying to, so they reduced it from 15 to 10 yards.
Well, the point is, before that, there was never a 10-yard penalty. Everything was 5 and 15.
Correct.
So we ventured into new turf on that.
Yeah.
We invented a 10-yard penalty on that. Why can't we invent a 20-yard penalty on downfield pass interference? If you don't want to go with 15.
I got to admit, Al, I think that the best way to go is I think the pro game should adopt the college rules. Just 15 yards. There you go.
There you go. I agree. If 15 gives you the woolies, then I'd be willing to go with 20. But there ought to be it ought to be a yardage foul.
I've never liked that foul
with a 55 yard penalty.
Well,
effectively on a borderline call.
Yes,
hard to make.
Yes, but you do realize, of course, though, that if that's the case, then what's going to end up happening then is you're going to have more and more defensive backs pulling receivers down when they get beat on the play.
Well, maybe that's why you got to increase it from 15 yards to something else.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you got to make it hurt a little bit more.
Right.
You know, if you're worried about the intentional. Or if you want to make it a judgment call where the official says, hey, that's a flagrant, pass interference,
right,
like
right.
You've got, excuse me, flagrant fouls in basketball.
Right.
If you want to call it, if you want to give the official a little bit of leeway there and say, well, that was an intentional hug, you know, we're going to make that a spot foul.
Right.
Okay. And that's one thing. But if it's just one of these jockeying for positions, I have trouble with the one way the NFL does that. I think that really, like I say, Tlaib, I would not have been shocked at all if Tlaib had just gone off, because that was just a horrible call. And, watch a lot of football, and you gotta put up with bad calls. I mean, officials are gonna make mistakes.
That is also true.
It's gonna happen. But geez, that was just out in the open. I mean, come on. How do you not see that?
I basically said the same thing. That's absolutely true. Al, thank you for the phone call. I'm going to get a timeout in here because I've got a couple of callers that are on the line. Hang in there. Both Eldridge and Jefferson got room for you as well. 855-PATS-500. Toll-free number 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com. The email at JRBroadcaster on Twitter. Getting some good tweets in today. Yeah! So we're going to get to those. Facebook posts, got those as well. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Going to share them all with you, but it's time for the timeout, and then we come back and continue with the thoughts in the playbook.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance. You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
A superstar, super big, and let's not forget, super tasty. Yeah, I'm proud to share my table with another New England legend, Superbird, the biggest rotisserie chicken in the universe, and you'll only find it at Big Y. Crackling on the outside and juicy on the inside, it dominates those other rotisserie chickens. Celebrate its 10-year anniversary by letting Superbird tackle dinner for your family. Superbird, only at your neighborhood Big Y World Class Market.
I thought you were going to get a kick out of that. Welcome back as we are in hour number two of Patriots Playbook here on a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. That was, I don't know if anybody knows that, but Big Vince did a spot for Big Y supermarket chain, which is primarily in central and northern New England, not a whole lot in southern New England where we're located here in Foxborough, but usually throughout northern New England. We actually have one, I think, down the road in Rentham.
It's probably technically in Walpole.
Walpole, right?
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
But saw this commercial online. I know Kevin and the post game guys,
I almost died.
Yeah,
I don't know how I had
laughing
seen it
with
before.
Tears. I know,
but yeah. We will miss Vince. We send him the best. I know I'll miss him personally on Mondays doing the Patriots.
Yeah, because he's interviews. In here and he's always
he's
great.
He's a phenomenal interview. He's right. A phenomenal guy, and I just hope that he gets plenty of Superbird while he gets
plenty of Superbird
to heal up.
Plenty of Superbird. So, yeah, that is of course our huge topic of the day is how best do the Patriots fill the very large shoes of one number 75 Vince Wilfork. In that lineup. He did have surgery today. He will be apparently put officially on IR tomorrow, season ending IR tomorrow. How do you fulfill his presence? That's one of the questions of the day to you here in the Patriots playbook. And I did notice that power rankings are out in a lot of the polls. We were talking about how in the first hour of the program, how I thought that the Patriots might get some nods at three, but most of them are four. That's where I would put the Patriots at number four. I'm seeing some improvement out of the five undefeated teams as well thus far in the NFL. And I think the consensus is that's about where the Patriots belong, is number four. You've got Denver 1, Seattle 2, New Orleans probably deserves 3, Patriots 4, Kansas City 5. I don't know how many people would have a problem with that, but if you have some comments on that as well, that's where we'd like to go today. A couple of others as well here on Twitter. Michael says, please thank Al for not pitching Tebow. it says, my nitpicks are Sudfeld's lack of abilities and Brady's fumbles on sneaks. Well, those were two of my nitpicks as well, Michael, so we're on the same page. David on Twitter says, my nitpick this week, what's going on with Ryan Wendell? It's like the second or third time he hasn't snapped the ball properly. That kind of goes along my nitpick as well in the center exchange between center and quarterback. Clearly, it's an issue, guys, that it will have to be addressed this week. And Tom Brady even admitted as much when he did the post-game interview after the game was over on Sunday night with Michelle Tavoy on NBC. By the way, did we all see that the nationally televised game on NBC was the highest-rated program of the week on network television of any during premiere week, which of course last week was premiere week for all the new shows and such on all the networks. And the Patriots Falcons game was the highest rated show of the week. Can't say that I'm shocked and surprised about that, but now you know why NBC Sunday Night Football, or Football Night in America as it is billed, is kind of overtaken, I think, Monday Night Football in terms of the national conscious of NFL fans. I know that a lot of us, especially the old schoolers, really go back with Monday Night Football to, you know, back in the early days, 1969, 1970, when it launched. But since, you know, Monday Night Football turned into what it has and moved from ABC to ESPN, I think it's lost some of its luster. It has nothing to do with the guys who are calling the game, because Mike Tirico is a friend of mine, but I would say that I just think Sunday Night Football, it turned into a bigger deal than Monday Night Football. And maybe it's just because Monday Night Football has been around for 40 plus years. I don't know. That might be a good topic of conversation someday here on the show. Let's see, what else? Marco says, nitpick this week has to be the TB12 fumble. That play put the overall great work of this game at risk. That and Mr. Softfeld. Yeah, Sudfeld. it's big losing Vince because I see this team going back to the Super Bowl year style. We need everybody and his leadership. This one comes from Icarus, who says, John, the fumble with Wendell and Brady was because the center blew the exchange. Anyone would have fumbled it. Maybe. I think, though, on the replay, you can see Tom's pulling up a little bit too quickly. But so that's an issue between the two of them, not just Ryan Wendell and his problem. Then I got this from Nick, who says, longtime listener out here in New Mexico, just got a Twitter. Go Pats. Nick, we welcome you into the playbook. At JR Broadcasters, how you can hit me up on Twitter. That's what we're going to do there. A couple of other quickies here. Before we get back to the phones, let me get a couple of emails in here. Steve says, John, the other name you're looking for was Marcus Forston. Forston, 6'3", 305 pounds, only 24 years old. According to the stats, that makes him an inch taller but 20 pounds lighter than Big Vince. Yes, Forston's the guy that they could probably be between him and Francis, that they'll probably make a move on the roster as soon as tomorrow. Certainly can mention that. John in South Carolina says, Rook, you and Big Al think we should bring back Kyle Love, a person who has type 2 diabetes, a person who needs to keep down his weight so he doesn't die, and pay him to bulk up and play football? So when Kyle Love dies during this season, everyone can lump that in with the whole Hernandez thing? Patriots are trying to improve their perception. Can you imagine the media circus that comes from that? Also, since he's not playing for anyone, I imagine there's a reason. No one else wanted him. He's either thinning down and not strong enough to play the position, or he's keeping on the weight and his heart is beating out a rave beat. Well, I think that's a little harsh, John. I'll put it to you that way. I mean, I knew that he was, you know, scuffling with his diabetic problem, and it may very well be that that's considered an injury, and that's partly why they wouldn't go after him. But I'm saying if you don't do the due diligence and find out whether or not he is capable of even performing, then you're not doing your job as a football organization. Nobody wants to bring back Kyle Love and have him die, John. Goodness gracious. You know, so let's not go overboard with this thing. All right. I'm glad that, you know, you seem to be an expert on everything. And I'm glad that you take your hard earned time and your very precious time to share all of that knowledge that you have with all of us here in the Patriots Playbook, including myself personally. So, you know, John, I love reading your emails because I happen to think you are very, very knowledgeable. But don't condescend to anybody because there's no room for that here. Okay? He says, you're looking at people who no one wants like they will help, and that's not going to happen. Since any of the names mentioned will not play this week, I say try to make it through until Armstead can make it back. Well, see, but Armstead could be in the same situation as Kyle Love. I mean, he's had a heart issue in his past, John. Do you remember that? And it may very well be that the Patriots are trying to let him work himself through his issue. They just haven't put him on the field yet, because when they put him on the field, then the clock is ticking. So what's the difference then between Armstead and Kyle Love? Come on, John. You're better than that. Robin in Alaska. I like Big Al. He has a radio voice. He loves the game of football. Way back when, before Methuselah, I actually thought Big Al was a guest, not a caller. That's how great he is. However, I just can't stand Tebow time. He said, with that said, here's my nitpick. Where are the linebackers? Maybe I've blinked and missed it, but I don't think I've heard their names called except for maybe Ninko. And even he was only noticeable against, I think it was the Jets. That's one shout out in 4 weeks. We need our linebackers to rise up, especially now that the front is down a man or three, depending on how you count Will Fork. That's a great email, Robin. Great email. 110% correct on that one. All right, Eldridge in North Carolina. Thanks for hanging in there. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Eldridge. What's on your mind today?
Nitpick. I'm the same way. The fumble and Sudfield.
Yep.
You know, doing preseason, I don't know what in the Sudfield, like he just fell off.
Yep.
You know, but I'd rather have Love back. Or prior, just like you do.
But let's bring Kyle Love back, though. If we bring a guy like Kyle Love back, because he knows the system, let's make sure that he's not harming himself, because we don't want John in South Carolina to start controversy.
Yeah, that too. But I got three questions, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I know they're making a lot of roster moves. They cut Cole. They cut another safety. But they ain't brought nobody back in to replace them. You know what I mean? So
sure.
Secondary already short, and to me, they're a man thin. Without to leave, we hurt. Because to me, Arrington and Denner fell way off. Even though they had a pretty good game plan against the Falcons Sunday night, they were still getting burnt. You know, I mean, like, easy. But I just like to know what they're doing to roster. You know, that's four other guys off.
Right. Right. Okay.
So how they plan on filling?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think that anybody has an answer to that question right now. Now, refresh my memory here. What was the problem you had with Tlaib specifically?
Oh, I got no problem with Tlaib. He's the best corner we got. I got a problem with Dylan and Arrington. They can't cover a cold with a Band-Aid.
Well, I'd see now.
They can't stick, you know. You know, they can't stick.
Oh, you mean, that's oh, okay. I misunderstood. All right, I misunderstood you. You were talking about Alphonso Dennard. Okay. Well,
Alphonso Dennard and Arrington.
Well, I disagree with you about Kyle Arrington. Kyle Arrington's role is as a nickelback, so he's only going to be there basically when a nickel coverage is usually required when teams go 4 and 5 wide. So I think he actually fulfills his role quite nicely. I don't really have any problems with Kyle Arrington at all. Alphonso Dennard is a completely different issue. That issue may even take care of itself, you know, if his legal problems, you know, stand in the way of, you know, his continuing contribution. But there's no doubt in my mind. What's that?
Yeah, but we still short in the secondary. If you look at it, there's only 5 corners.
Well,
really 4.
Okay.
Like I said, they cut Cole, right?
Yeah.
And yesterday I read they cut that.
Actually, no. Actually, no. I believe they still released Marquise Cole.
Yeah, they released Cole. They released Cole.
Right.
And then they released Davis also. So
yes, Kenoris Davis.
If you
yes.
Only got. Yeah. So if you only got McCourty, you got Khalid. You got Dillard, you got Ryan, you got Arrington.
Well, you just answered your question, though, Eldridge. They obviously they obviously like Logan Ryan a lot. Don't you think? So wouldn't they figure that, you know, they're not going to make these moves, you know, and let Cole go and decide, you know, not to keep Kenoris Davis unless they feel like what they have is good enough to get the job done.
haven't seen it on the field yet. And even though we're 4-0, it's just, I don't know, I just like coverage. Like I said, I play corner, talk corner wise when I coach.
Okay.
And to me, the coverage is just tremendous.
That's a fair nitpick. It's a fair nitpick, but I would tell you that I feel like they're at least pleased with the progress they've seen.
Okay. Is Dawson out, or is Dawson just hurt?
We don't know. We won't know, begin to know that until tomorrow.
Know that. Okay, so there, you only got 5 receivers there, no more depth. So my problem is a depth issue right now. Depth in corners and depth.
Let's give Josh Boyce a chance to work his way into there before we say that we got a problem at wideout. Okay, because Boyce hadn't really seen any appreciable time until this last week or two. So let's see what he can do first, and then after he's done, after you get him in there, then you're going to start thinking you're going to bring Gronk back. Amendola's going to come back, and then and then maybe even Leon Washington still comes up and ends up being a factor here. So I don't think the depth is quite as bad as you think it is.
All right. Were you surprised about Sunday's win?
What was the surprise?
Was you surprised about Sunday's win?
Yes. I said that right off the top of the show. I was definitely surprised, and it's caused me to adjust my thinking. We got a win in a game I thought we'd lose, so I've now vaulted my opinion to 11-5.
Okay. All right, John. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Eldridge. Good stuff as always. Here's Jefferson in Salt Lake City. Thanks for hanging in there, Jefferson.
Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, pal.
Good, man. Hey, I called into PSW. I wanted to call you as well. My wife got me tickets to the Dolphins game on October 27th. I've never been to an NFL game in my entire life.
Sweet!
I swore to God I would never go to a game unless it was at Gillette Stadium seeing the Patriots play. I've had opportunities to see the Broncos and Chargers a million times, but I won't do it. So I'm just beyond myself excited, and I made the PFW guys promise me that they'd let me buy them a beer. I'd like to include you in that.
Well, that's nice of you.
If you would. But in terms of one thing that I kind of want to say, I'm a big believer of, I love the Patriot way. I love how, the Patriots' ability to harness personalities and for all the sake of the team and the professionalism that they show. I'm having a little bit of a guilty pleasure watching Aqib Talib walk around gangsta, sitting down on the bench like, what, I'm the man, and like nobody can, like I can't stand that type of mentality anywhere else, but because he's wearing a Patriots uniform, I'm sitting back going, yo, that is my dude right there, that is, and just, I feel like I'm a little bit of a hypocrite in it, but I got a kick out of that at the end of that play when he knocked it down and went and sat down on the bench.
Jefferson, I got to admit, I'm kind of right there with you. I have to admit, I'm not up with all of that, but I didn't have any problem with him strutting because the guy's walking the walk. So if you can walk the walk, then you should be able to talk the talk too, right?
Well, I mean, we all know that he's always been able to talk the talk,
But he's backing it up, right? So,
exactly,
I mean, if you want to show a little attitude, see, I look at Aqib Talib as one of those guys that every team has that you love to have when he's on your team, but if he's on somebody else's team, you hate his guts.
Exactly. And it's nice to have some, and to Eldridge's comment, I agree. There's nitpicks on the coverage, I think Steve Gregory, he's had a pretty solid season so far. He was not very good against Atlanta. His angles were kind of iffy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That angle that he slipped and allowed Gonzalez to score on was terrible.
Exactly. But I think the thing that we got to remember as fans and as an organization is we're not going to go from worst to first. That doesn't happen. I mean, it's about improvement, and not only improvement within the season, but improvement from year to year. And so you see where we were last year. You see where we were the year before, where we had just a rocket offense that, had to outscore everybody to win.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to the point where it's like, hey, our defense is starting to do something. I understand, Patriots fans were spoiled rotten. We want championships every single year, and God willing, we'll get another, one or two before Tom Brady leaves. But, We got to take that with a grain of salt and realize that, hey, we're making steps towards where we need to be. And this is week 4. You know, I mean, moving into week five, and we are by far and large ahead of where we were last year. And in my opinion, by far and large ahead of where we were at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
And to see that kind of improvement, I mean, obviously, Aqib is a huge, huge part of that, that, you know, kind of congeal, you know, the secondary and help us at that point. But you know, I mean, we are showing progress, and I don't think there's any cause for anything but optimism with these guys, because you know the Patriots, you know Belichick, they're not going to do anything but improve so long as they can, you know, and so long as, you know, devastating injuries don't continue to happen to us. You know, I mean, that's actually one thing that kind of crushed me. My wife, you know, she got me those tickets, and I was like, okay, just Tom Brady, stay healthy.
Yeah.
I just cry myself to sleep at night. Vince Wilfork is my second favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time. And, oh, one thing I did want to ask you, I'm sorry.
Sure. No problem. Go ahead.
What does C. Mark Sanchez stand on the sidelines of the Jets? Okay, and you know, I'm a true Patriots fan. I hate that team more than I hate anything on the face of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the Raiders close, but is there any chance Wilfork steps on the sideline as a presence to maintain that leadership role? I mean, I know the Patriots don't generally do that, but I would love to see him on the sideline as kind of a moral support type of a thing. I
think that's a great question. I would tell you that in the past they haven't done that because they largely look at it as a safety issue, because if he is looking out there and something's coming another direction and he's involved with talking to somebody and somebody runs into him, then that could set you back. So I don't think as a general rule they allow injured players like that on the sideline. So that doesn't mean he can't be in the locker room. It doesn't mean he can't be up in a box watching the game, which he might very well be. But on the sideline during the game, while there's, you know, physical play going on down there, I would highly doubt it.
Let's take up a collection, John, to get Vince Wilfork a rascal that he can just be just rolling around on the sidelines back and forth.
I think that's a great idea. Nobody's going to get in the way of that thing, that's for sure.
John, I love your show, man. I listen to it every single day. It's not often I get to listen to it live, but I'm always listening to the podcast. You're fantastic. The PFW guys are fantastic. I got to be one of, you know, three or four Patriots fans in Salt Lake City, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to finally come out to, you know, my Mecca and see my team. Oh, also, what the hell is up with the Dolphins fans being as arrogant as the Jets fans as of late? You know, I mean, that's my thing. Usually I reserve all of my hatred for the New York Jets, because the Jets suck, man. Screw the Jets. But you know, I've never had a problem with the Dolphins. In fact, to be honest, I've always kind of liked the Dolphins. And unless they're playing the Patriots, I mean, I know they're in our division, but I've never had a problem rooting for them. But again, maybe that's because they've been, you know, they've been just crap the last, you know, last while. But I swear to God, we've got tons of Dolphins fans out here in Salt Lake, and they've been the most arrogant pieces of garbage I've ever seen.
How the hell does that happen? How do you get Dolphins fans in Salt Lake?
You know, I don't know, man. Maybe it's the people out here wishing for some tropical weather, and they're sick and tired of nothing but gray. I mean, I'll tell you, John, out in Salt Lake City, people say, yeah, it's beautiful, the snow, it's wonderful, best skiing in the world. Come February, you cut your wrist just so you can see some color. It's the ugliest damn place on the face of the planet. I mean, I lived in New York City for about 5 years. I lived in Los Angeles for 3 years, San Francisco for 3 years. But, you know, I grew up here in Salt Lake City, and my business, I moved my corporate office out here.
How did you get to be a Patriot fan?
Yeah, I mean, since I was 2 years old, I don't know. My whole family, you know, they're all Niners fans because of, you know, Steve Young, back in the day, BYU.
All right. But how, what was the connection with New England for you?
I have no idea. I honestly, I mean, I've been a Patriots fan since I was a little kid. I'm thinking it was probably, you know, Pat Patriot.
Yeah.
It's just a logo. I mean,
yeah. You know what? That's a common theme. I know a lot of people who are, you know, even up in my age, and I'm in my 50s, but I know people who go way back to the, you know, actually go back to the days of the AFL in the 1960s when people loved the old Pat Patriot logo and were fans just because the logo was just so, well, at the time, everybody said, well, it was ugly. But I mean, but they loved it and they embraced it, and it was kind of our thing. And Yeah, I have to agree with you. Frankly, that's kind of how I first became aware of the Patriots. I was a huge Gino Cappelletti fan, and I was a huge I'm gonna really date myself now. Mike Tolliver, who played quarterback, I think, here for like half a year. But I love, because I remember I had his card, and he did one of those Heisman Trophy type stances on his card, and I had that card, and I loved the way I always tried to stand like that with a football, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, but for some reason, these stupid things that just stick in your head when you're a little kid, that's what it was. And he spelled his name Taliaferro, but it's pronounced Tolliver, from what I was later told. And so I was a huge Mike Tolliver fan, and I loved Pat Patriot, and Gino Cappelletti was my guy because he was a wideout and a kicker.
There you go.
And so that's how I became, you know, ensconced with the Patriots back when I was about, 7 years old.
Yeah, I think the first memory that I've got is I was watching the, you know, I can't even remember how old I was, but I was watching the Patriots play the Niners, and I just everybody in my family, there was like 30 people over at my house, and I just rooted for the other people because, you know, screw everybody else.
Yeah.
And, I guess maybe I should, I'm from Boston at some point with that type of mentality.
Right, right.
But, I'm so happy with, you know, the job that you do, man. I mean, you really do a lot,
nice of you to say, and I look forward to your visit out this way, because I'm sure you'll have the time of your life.
Absolutely, my man, absolutely. Well, hey, keep doing what you do, and, I'm sure I'll be talking to you again soon.
Sounds like a plan. Good stuff, Jefferson. Jefferson in Salt Lake City. Love to have him. Thanks for being aboard in the playbook. Max in San Diego, you're up next in the playbook. How we doing, Max?
John, outstanding. How you guys doing?
Great, pal.
Hey, thanks for doing what you do on the radio, just like the last caller said, man, for everything that you guys do.
So, well, we're glad to be here. We're happy to do it, and we love doing it, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. We love hearing you.
Good.
Especially right before the games. But here, I got a little itty-bitty nitpick. Can I share it with you real quick here?
Sure.
All right. Well, aside from the obvious, everybody's hitting Sudfeld and all that and Brady, okay? We understand all that, and I know we'll still get them fixed, so.
Right.
That's not really big for me. Well, it was big during the game. I ain't going to lie. I heard stuff come out of my mouth during the game that I don't normally say on a daily basis. But, I'll just leave that one alone. But I will say this. My nitpick has more to do with how I think they're going to deal with the Tlaib contract extension. My thing about it is, I'm going to keep it simple. Pay the man. Give him his money. And the reason why I say that is because if they don't, our fan club out here in San Diego, we're growing very quickly. Right now, we've got about 75 people, and it's getting bigger. But I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't give the man the money, we're going to start a writing campaign. And I'm going to tell you, us and Bill Belichick, we're going to have a Glengarry, Glenn Ross moment. You ever seen that silly movie?
Sure, yeah.
And it was a movie made in F-bombs, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I guarantee you that's probably what's going to happen. He's going to make me sound like Richard Roma. I'm going to tell you right now, he really doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I love Bill. Absolutely. I love the man. I love what he does. I'm glad he's our coach. And I wouldn't want any other coach but Bill Belichick with us. But it's like, seriously, Bill? I mean, we're in a situation now where we don't have Vince anymore for the rest of the season. And I wish him a speedy and a very healthy recovery. But there's nothing we can do about that. But you got good players like Tlaib that sit there and was on, Vincent Jackson and Tony G were on these guys like white on rice.
Right.
With help. But these guys were on them. So you can't find cats like that, a lot of cats like that out in the league that are available right now.
Yeah.
So I say, the Bucks got Revis. The Jets had him for so many years. And, he's probably not going to come here, but if you got to keep what you got. So I'm just making the case for Tlaib. The man works his butt off. He's dedicated to what he does. He's good at what he does. I say keep him.
Well, you know what? I think that you're going to find everybody that's going to agree with you here, but I would tell you that the track record here is that they have a set price per position, and they're not going to overpay anybody. Otherwise, you would have seen them keep Asante Samuel a few years ago. So, it really depends on whether or not they feel like his overall value to the franchise is worth what he can command on the open market. And I'm sure they'll have a discussion. But, if the discussion is, hey, you got to pay me, well, then, they're probably going to tend to let him walk. So, while I think that, I'm not saying that it's a fait accompli, but I'm going to tell you that based on track record, I think you should know and you should expect that if he re-signs and he gets paid a premium, his re-signing ain't going to be here in Foxborough. I think that's just the way, I think that's just a fact of life. And now here's the problem that you'd have to have, Max, is that you'd have a problem with the Patriots who've been very, very, successful with their formula. You'd have to admit, over the last 14 years that Bill Belichick has been here, they've been successful with this formula. So why would you stray from that? And the and you kind of answered your question. The answer is, well, you shouldn't stray from that, and therefore they're not going to. And then so they're probably not going to pay him. Now it depends on what Aqib would re-sign for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true too.
If Aqib is willing to take a little less, if Tlaib is willing to take a little less, but remain, you know, competitive and still have a chance to win, hopefully, championships in New England, then maybe that's worth it to him more than saying, you know, hey, pay the man. But if he's in it for the money, which a lot of guys are, you can't blame him if he can get a few extra, you know, $100,000 or maybe a couple of million someplace else, because these guys have a very finite amount of time and a very short window of opportunity to cash in. This may finally be his chance to cash in.
Yeah, especially if they win a ring. So you're definitely right. I hear you.
I will tell you this. I will make a prediction today, and today's October 1st, 2013. My prediction is if the Patriots win, Tlaib will not be back.
You think if they win a championship, he won't
be back? Yes, correct. If they win the ring, I don't think he's coming back. I think he takes his ring. Thank you very much. Takes his dough.
I hope not.
Well, I hope not, too. I'm just telling you right now, I think that based on what I've seen to this point in time and what I've heard and who I've talked to, that if the Patriots somehow win the Super Bowl this year, Aqib Tlaib's going somewhere else next year. That's what I think.
Well, as much as it pains me to admit it and to admit it, but you might actually be right. But I hope, God, I hope you're wrong.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. Max, I hope I'm wrong. I do. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. But just based on the track record and what we've seen, I just think that'll be the case. The Patriots will feel like, hey, you know what? The position's worth this. We won with him. We won without him. We can win without him again.
I gotcha. Absolutely. Well, hey, that's pretty much all I had other than, good win. And, I do have one more thing. Check this out really fast here. San Diego, last caller said that he's got a lot of Dolphin fans out there talking smack.
Yeah.
I'm getting it from Charger fans now.
Well, I can understand. I can understand Charger fans in San Diego wanting to kill you on that. I can understand that.
Oh, they want to kill me anyway. But my thing about it is, it's like, wait a minute, hold on a second. You want to talk about our division? Look at yours.
Yeah.
You got Denver.
Yeah.
Owning your division right now, and they're about to walk all over you, and you're going to talk smack to me, really?
Yeah, but I mean, let's not forget Kansas City now, okay? I think the Chiefs, somebody needs to be paying attention to those guys.
I really believe
that. I believe that strongly. I think that's a hidden gem right there, and I think Andy Reid knew what he was doing when he stepped into that situation.
I think you're right. Well, hey. Last but not least, I just want to ask my, because I didn't get a chance to ask my Buck friends that are listening to this broadcast. They always do. For whatever reason, they listen to the Patriots radio program.
Good.
But they never call in.
Good.
But,
they should call in, though.
Yeah, they definitely should. But I just like to ask them over the air, who that? Talked all that smack a couple of weeks ago, who that?
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
I know. All right, man, I'm out. I just wanted to say hey and everything else. So
thanks,
just
Max.
Win, man.
Good stuff. Thank you. Well, I'm sure we'll talk soon. Thank you very much. Ray in North Carolina. Ray, you're in the playbook. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great, Ray.
I've just got a question for you. I was wondering what your opinion was. I know we're going to play the Bengals next Sunday. I was wondering what you think their chances are without Gronk and without Amendola and without Wilfork.
Well, we don't know yet specifically about Gronk and Amendola. I said in the opening hour of the program today that if I were a betting man, I'd bet on Gronk being in the lineup because this is week five, and they didn't put him on the PUP and keep him out because they thought he would be ready sooner than 6 weeks. They put him on the PUP, then it would have been an automatic 6 weeks. So if they're going to be right about Gronk, this would be the week to bring him back. So I actually think Gronk will be in the lineup as long as he progresses okay and doesn't re-hurt himself in practice this week. I think Amendola will stay out for a while longer. I think they're going to keep him out as long as they can because they want him healthy for the stretch run in November and December. And Will Fork, part of the question of the day that we had today, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Ray, is, you know, that's going to be a huge obstacle to overcome. So I would ask you to put on your best Bill Belichick hat, and how do you replace Vince Wilfork in that lineup? What would you do if you had a blank checkbook?
Well, I got an answer for that. I think Wilfork got hurt at the beginning of the game, did he not?
Yes, he did. First quarter. First drive of the game, I believe, yes.
And how did the team do through the rest of the game?
Well, they managed. They managed. They absolutely managed.
I don't think if the guys keep stepping up like they're stepping up, I don't think we'll have that much of a problem.
Well, yeah, but you're right about that. I think that what we saw without Vince there was, you know, guys certainly stepped up, but I think teams now are going to take advantage, and they're going to have a chance to game plan here, and they're going to have a chance to attack the middle of that Patriot defense, so you have to bring in some kind of reinforcement plan, if not individual. And because of that, then, you know, either you rotate, you put Tommy Kelly right there, which is where he was kind of anyway. You have to bring somebody in off of the practice squad, which I think we'll probably see Marcus Forston most likely tomorrow, or you have to consider some of the free agents that are out there. And the one that came to mind, and I had one here from Fabrizio in Mexico, who sent me this note on Facebook a little while ago, but he said, what about Gerard Warren? Because technically he is a free agent. He was on this team last year. He fulfilled a role greatly for this team last year, and he's not playing. You know, do you go to Gerard and you say, hey, how about giving us 10 weeks here? Do you think you could do it? And frankly, I like that idea as well as any of the guys who are available right now. You know, the names that we mentioned in the opening hour, they're like four or five guys, and actually a couple of them probably for health reasons might not be options. But I think Warren would be a fine option, because that's exactly what you need. You need somebody to come in there and just be a part of a rotation. Yeah. You don't have to have somebody in there for all downs.
I think that it's not critical right at this time, because we're playing the Bengals this coming Sunday.
Right.
I think it gives it a little more leeway to plug that hole, more or less, and see what they come up with. But I don't think they're going to have that much of a problem with the Bengals. They're 2-2. We're 0-4.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 4-0. You know, so a lot of people at the beginning of the season, when we had all of these problems with Hernandez and Wes Walker and all of these guys, they were saying, boy, we're going to get our asses.
Right, right.
You know, but We came back, and look where we are.
Yeah. Well, I think in theory you're right, and I think the general feeling that I'm getting from most of the stuff that I've read already and the callers that we've had today is, you know, I don't think we need to go out and break the bank on replacing Vince, which I sort of tend to agree with, and that it may very well be that we already have the answer or the solution in-house. And I think we'll probably learn that over the course of the next week or two. But if you do have to go out and look for a body, you know, if there's a free agent out there, I love the fact that, you know, why wouldn't you see if Gerard Warren would be willing to pick it up again for another year? Why don't we see if, you know, let's make a call to Richard Seymour and see if he's still pissed off at us. Or a guy like Myron Pryor, who actually would be my top pick if we were going to go out and fill that, because he's got familiarity and he's young, you know, and if, as long as he's healthy enough to do it, why wouldn't you make these calls? And so I think that's probably the best way you fix this problem. You also may have to change some things strategically and maybe even dynamically within the course of the defense in order to throw the curveball back at the opposition. Because now if I'm somebody who's getting ready to play New England, to be honest with you, I'm going to attack the middle of that defense without Wilfork in there. I'm thinking that maybe now we can do even some straight man-on-man run blocking, and I'm coming right at Gerard Mayo, because I'm going to make him commit so that way we can blow right by him, and we're going to make these guys beat us at this game, and we're not going to let a guy like Aqib Talib, you know, pick off pass after pass after pass. We're going to go right at the Patriots. And so if I've got a running game, I'm going right at them. So I want to make sure now the Patriots kind of retool themselves somewhat defensively in an effort to, you know, counteract what teams are clearly, in my mind, going to game plan for. Does that not make sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that whatever moves they make to replace Vince, Ray, whatever moves they make, that they're also trying to think a half a step ahead of the other guy.
But, John, just stop and think. Which team in the NFL has been hit with more problems this year?
With more problems this year?
Yeah, like the Hernandez thing and the Wes Walker thing and the injuries.
You put the Patriots right up there at the top of the list now because they've lost, arguably, as I said in the opening hour today, they've lost arguably their second most valuable player on this franchise for the season.
Absolutely.
And they're still 4-0.
They're still 4-0, so tell me, boys, if there ain't life in that team.
There's a lot of life in that team, and I think
Patriots,
that's why
the Patriots always find a way.
And that's why I said at the very beginning of the show today, Ray, you know, I think we could all understand we're disappointed about Vince, but I feel really good about this team right now. And if I'm a Pats fan, no matter where I'm listening, I think this team is definitely headed in the right direction. I feel better about this team now than I did this time a week ago, and we've lost Will Fork. What does that say?
Yeah, I know, but all Patriots fans right now should be even more proud than they were of them in the past, because Look at the pressure they're under, the things that are happening to them, and look where they are.
Yeah.
They even criticized Tom Brady at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But the guy hadn't had nobody to throw it to.
This is why on ESPN.com you saw this whole debate, I think, on one portion of the site today, this whole debate over who's had the better start of the season, Peyton or Tom.
Yeah.
And you can certainly make the case for Peyton, but I was amazed that they even brought Tom into the equation. I think it's because nationally, people now are starting to get it, that Brady's starting to click with these young guys, and these young guys are starting to mature.
Well, you know, Wes Walker was, when he first came with us too, was unknown, but look what the Patriots did for him.
Yeah.
They made him a household name now. Everybody knows Wes Walker.
No question.
And a lot of these guys that are on there right now, like Tompkins and Edelman, I mean, these people are going to be household names, too, because, you know what? They're getting better every time they play.
You're right. You're right.
So I don't think we have anything to worry about. We're just going to keep our fingers crossed and hope things keep clicking for the Pats, and I think they'll do just fine this year.
Good stuff, Ray. Thank you.
Anyway, I thank you for being on the air. I appreciate it. I listen to you all the time, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ray. You're welcome anytime. Ray in North Carolina joining us here in the playbook. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Or you can hit the toll-free line, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Toll-free, we pay for the call. How about that? Let's see here. Oh, John in South Carolina, I want you to know, he says, I'm sorry if my email was condescending. How about this, Kevin? We got an apology. I just listened to your caller call people babies and challenge people as if they were in elementary school, so I guess I got carried away. John, let me say this. I've always thought of you as one of the most knowledgeable listeners to Patriots.com radio between here and the PFW program. So you're always welcome, and I would just answer simply by saying, no worries, bro. Okay? It's all good. Luis in Tampa. Hi, Jay Rook. Love the show. I have to get this off my chest. I saw Stephen A. and Nelly on ESPN First Take say that Brady is a system QB. When I heard that, I almost broke my TV. They always want to compare Manning to Brady when Brady has no weapons, and that's not fair. Brady plus two drafted rookies and one undrafted rookie and one quarterback wide receiver plus no tight ends, seven touchdowns, one pick. Yes, one pick, but Zach Sudfeld gave the ball to the defense on that play. You're correct, Luis. Manning, Thomas, Antonio Gates, no, but I understand. West, Decker, 16 touchdowns. So give Brady those weapons, then compare. Don't kick a man while he's down. To all you Denver fans, don't count the Pats out yet. Manning played the 21st, 17th, 32nd, 15th ranked defenses. Nobody talks about that. He's the NFL poster boy, Papa John's Pizza. What happens to Rodgers? I thought he was the best quarterback. How things change, that said. Brady is 4-0 without weapons. We'll see you guys week 12. Trust me, if we can, just get healthy. It ain't where you start, it's how you finish. Remember the 07 Patriots. We all do. Tom, a system quarterback? Give me a break. You don't know football if you believe that. Brady will never get the credit that he should get, and that's fine. Just win, baby. To all my Pats fans, have hope. Let them laugh now. Let's see who's laughing later. Thank you, Luis. Appreciate that. And that's a great email. Good way to bring yourself into the program. Well played, my man. Well played. You're absolutely 110% correct. And my guess would be that Stephen A. and Nelly on ESPN, when they were doing that, probably were just trying to stir stuff. That's all I can tell you. Sometimes they make arguments that really don't really mean much, don't really hold a lot of water, just for the sake of having an argument. But I totally agree with you. If you think that he's a system quarterback, then you flat out aren't watching or paying attention to football. It's that simple. Brady's got talent. Manning has talent. You can't go wrong with either guy. You could certainly make the assumption that if Manning had some of what Brady has had in the past, that Manning would have more than just his one ring. But you can also make the assumption that Brady's actually had less to work with over the years than Manning has had, and Brady still has more rings. All I'm saying is you can make that argument either way, and you wouldn't be wrong. Good points, Luis. Thank you. Bodog says, he wants that for the fantasy guys. That's great. Guys, do me a favor. When you send the emails, if you want the fantasy football guys to do it, put it in the subject line. Okay? So all I need from you, then we don't have to waste the time. And we remember to save them rather than biff them and send them into the delete pile for the fantasy football guys. So let's remember that from now on. I did manage to save that one. There you go. This one comes from Sam in Brighton, who says, the Patriots D has been good against the run for years, and what has that gotten us? Now, finally, we have a great pass D. Well, I wouldn't say great, but let's say it this way. Let's put it this way. We can see they cover, and we can see that they're actually making progress, and part of that is because we're getting pressure on the quarterback. Said Vince is not that important to the pass D. As long as we have Tlaib and Dennard, we have one of the best defenses in football. I would agree to disagree with you there, Sam. Vince is very important to the pass D, just like he is to the run D. Because if you're collapsing the pocket up the middle, which he was able to help do this year, then you're putting more pressure on the quarterback, flushing him out of the pocket. So it works both ways. He says, here's a list of people on D who are more important than Vince. Tell me if you agree. 1 and 2, Tlaib and Dennard are both tough physical ball hawks. I would say I would disagree. 3, Chandler Jones, a promising pass rusher who's shown some versatility. I might agree with you there. Keep in mind now that Vince takes up sometimes 2 and even 3 blockers at a time. So he allows guys like Chandler Jones to get a free run at the quarterback and allows guys like Tlaib and Dennard to be able to stay with the receiver before the receiver can do an in cut or an out cut. You following me now? 4, Kyle Arrington, a good slot with the quickness and tackling ability you need in the slot. However, I do pull my hair out whenever they use him out of the slot. Well, that's where he belongs, is out of the slot. And then he says, Rob Ninkovich is a good second pass rusher who's always had the big sack at the big time. Once again, these guys are able to get to where they are because they've got Vince occupying bodies. You follow me, Sam? Says, so finally, Mayo and Spikes are not more important, but like Vince, they're great run defense players that love power football. I should say I've always thought that the nose tackle was an overrated position. Ever since 04, because in 03 they went 14-2 with the best nose tackle I've ever seen, and the next year play with no one, and they went 14-2 again. Well, no, that's a legitimate point by you if you look at the overall scheme of things. I don't say that the position's overrated, but I will tell you that I think sometimes you can overvalue a particular player. The position is not overrated. But the Patriots are able to do what they do defensively largely because you've got guys who are occupying other bodies and allowing guys to make plays. You know, Gerard Mayo is the tackler he is because Big Vince is clogging the hole. And when they get by him, there's Gerard ready to make the play. So that's his job. That's what they do. Howard from Stratford, Connecticut says, my nitpicks today. Well, first of all, great win on Sunday. My nitpicks. Patriots hold on to win versus Falcons or some other headline. Patriots were underdogs going into this game. They're not supposed to win this game. Therefore, they didn't hold on to win. They upset the Falcons in their own house, no less. Call it semantics. Call it whatever. But I'm tired of the Patriots always being looked at in the negative. Holding on is a negative, as it is perceived to be the Pats played poorly, where they played great against a very good team in their house and won them when they were not expected to. It's a very good point by you, Howard. It's because the expectations of the Patriots are still to win, even if they're not favored to win. We have those expectations as fans. The media has that expectation as media. I'm glad you pointed that out. He says, number 2, why is it that with the Wilfork injury, only the other teams will adjust? Who game plans better to the strength of his players than Bill and his coaches? Last week, they went into the game with a game plan with Wilfork as a strength of their D. Now that Wilfork isn't there and other players fill in, the staff will game plan to the strength of the players that are there. Similar situation in the first weeks. Eric stated, when the other teams start catching the passes instead of dropping them, the Pats D will be in trouble. Paraphrased, of course. I was screaming at the computer, what happens when our wide receivers start catching instead of dropping the passes? I guess we saw that against Atlanta. It's a good point. And then finally, he says here, I question the officiating on Sunday. However, that generally tends to balance itself out over the full year. All right. As usual, Howard, you're spot on with your observations. Excellent contributions there, my man. All right, let's hit up on Facebook. A lot of choices on Facebook here. Again, your nitpicks and how best do you replace Vince Wilfork in the middle of the Patriots lineup? Webradio@patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone line, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, and John.Rook on Facebook. All right, Matt says, best way to replace Wilfork is to wait and see. None of the former Patriots are real good options. Love got too out of shape, not taking care of himself and his diabetes. I don't want him to collapse because of that. I elevate Jenkins and wait and see how Armin Armstead is. There's nobody really out there, and as long as we can plug in a stopgap, that's all you really need. Yeah, that's the X factor, and I'm glad you brought that point out, Matt, because that's the X factor here. You've got Armin Armstead who, you know, has not been cast aside for the rest of the year. So I guess it's time to find out whether or not he can contribute to this team at all. That's why they signed him from the Canadian League last year to begin with. So I would tend to agree with it. I think that's probably the best option right now. Probably. Tyler says, John, I was able to make it to the Dome on Sunday for my first Patriots game. It was quite the experience. I'm so glad to see the Pats win. I do have a couple of thoughts on the game. My nitpicks, special teams. The main cause of this is, of course, the onside kick mishap that led Atlanta back in the game. But even that aside, the return game is practically non-existent. Whether Woodhead of the pass, McCourty or Blunt, there never seems to be any reason to run it out of the end zone because no one's getting it past the 25. I agree. I don't know if Washington is the explosive returner this team needs, but it can't be any worse than any chance he's ever healthy again. Well, I think we're all waiting to see. Very simple. I think we're all waiting to see. If he's healthy, my guess is that he'll get a shot back there. But right now, the way these kickers are booming the kickoffs into the end zone, you know, I honestly believe that there's, you know, very little need for the kickoff. Now, that may or may not be the case when you're outdoors. But, you know, I think this is part of the Patriots thumbing their nose at the establishment here. He's probably been ordered to boom it through the back of the end zone. So I don't know. I know there's been some thought to eliminate the kickoff. I'd actually hate to see that rule come into play. I just think that's, you know, let's just give them the ball and skip the pretense and get to the 20-yard line and let them go, or 25 or wherever you want to put it, like they do in the college game now. But, no, I would hate to see that, because that takes an excitement factor out of it. And you'll never see a 100-yard kickoff return again, ever, if you do away with the rule. I frankly, you know, especially in other teams, I like to see guys, especially when they get the ball 3 to 5 yards deep, take a stab at it. I hope that continues. Nitpick two for Tyler says, Atlanta fans, I couldn't believe the mass exodus of fans with a considerable amount of time on the clock in the fourth. I'll say this, though. Our fan base made its presence known this weekend. The Let's Go Pats chants were unbelievable. And it was difficult to tell which way some calls were going based on fans' reactions, because the Pats fans were just as vocal as the Falcons. I heard that too, Tyler. And I would tell you that I think that's very, very cool. And I think it's cool that Patriots fans were able to make their presence felt. My final thought is on the key to the MVP of the game. The credit goes to the guy who sat behind me. At one point in the game, we jokingly switched hats. At that point, New England was on fire. It was when he left and got his hat back that Atlanta made their comeback. Thankfully, the hat swap gave the Pats enough of a lead to hang in there. We definitely saw some improvement on both sides of the ball. It feels good to be 4-0, and he shows me his hat swap here. Nice job, Tyler. Excellent, excellent job. All right, let's go to here's our friend Tim up in Kamloops, British Columbia, who says, people are quitting the show because of Al? Crazy. I'd rather listen to him than Scalavino. Duly noted. Al at least sounds like he cares about the team. Eric sounds like he wants them to lose week after week. You covered most of my nitpicks, but Walt Coleman, or he says Molman, the worst ref in the NFL, year after year, he's awful.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's the only reason that we have the dynasty to begin with.
Coleman?
Tuck rule, bro.
Well, I understand that. And
the music
and,
to my ears, that like kind of Texan voice. The quarterback's arm was moving forward.
Who was the official that did the giving him the business? Which official was that? Do you remember
He's
that
call? He's a college official. I'm not
Is
sure
right?
his name.
We might have to look that up. You might have to Google that one, Kev.
Tony Brown.
Personal file, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business. He played with them.
Tony Brown. He's giving him the business.
His name is Ron Cherry.
Ron Cherry. Thank you. That's awesome. I love that. Can you play that again? One more time.
Tony Brown.
Personal file. 69. Offense. He was giving them the business. He played with them.
That's just fabulous. Anyway, he says, if a nit had a voice, it'd be the nasal tones of Walt Coleman. All right, well, Kevin disagrees with you, Tim, because you're right, and Kevin points it out very, very well that Coleman was the, you know, Mr. Tuck Rule. But I would tell you as well that I would also agree that he does miss some calls from time to time, that the overall officiating crew on Sunday night missed some things. It may very well be that Coleman's time has passed. He says, didn't the Pats cut Love because he had lost weight due to illness? I can't imagine that left a good taste. Finally, he probably isn't in the same place as Seymour to ignore the calls, though. Pryor did okay here, better than Brace, who was on the field about as much as Razai. Doubtful. It's a good point. It's going to take at least a couple of guys to replace Big V. Good points all, Tim. Yes, I think you're right about Love. I actually think he was cut because of the injury/illness situation. They didn't see that it was going to have a successful outcome. So obviously that would have to be determined before that ever came back into play. Pryor did okay here, better than Brace, who was on the field as much as Razai Dowling. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why Pryor was my choice. Out of the four or five names that we listed in the opening hour, Pryor seems to me to be the best option there if you need one. And like we already said, we may determine tomorrow that they've already got the option in-house, depending on what they decide to do from the from the practice squad. Let's see, what else do we have here? Yeah, Fabrizio said earlier from Mexico, he said, how about Gerard Warren? And to me, I think you at least make the call, and you look and you find out whether or not he's got any interest in coming back. You know, and to maybe, you know, do something over the short term. That would be my guess. See if he's got, you know, a way to you know, can you come and play 10 weeks? If you can come and play 10 weeks, then, you know, we might could use you in certain situations. I don't think there's any doubt that that could be an option here. Nori says, nitpick, Gregory's missed tackle that led to one of Gonzalez's two TDs. Yep, that's a good one. And McCourty not being there on time for that big pass play to Julio Jones in the fourth quarter. That's another good one. Safeties need to do a better job of not giving up on big plays. All right, Nori, I totally agree with you. Those are good nitpicks that we hadn't actually picked yet today. Ray in Stratford, Connecticut. John, great to have you back on the Tuesday show. Word association, bad hands equals Sudfeld. Yeah. Yeah, we mentioned that in the opening hour of the program, Ray. Thank you for bringing that up again, because we do need to make sure we know that people come in and come out, especially if they're listening to the broadcast here live. That was my nitpick number three, was Sudfeld, and because we know that players like Stephen Ridley are, you know, seeing the bench because they can't hold on to the ball. Same should go for even an undrafted free agent rookie in Sudfeld who can't seem to hold on to ball to save his life now. Even more of a reason then for Gronk to come back pretty quickly. Who man's the man right now? But Gronk needs to come back, and who man can move back into his role, and he could even move into conceivably, you know, the Hernandez role, and still make the Patriots, I think, formidable on offense for a defense to have to pick their poison. And Sudfeld might end up being, you know, inactive. Who knows? Maybe they're not going to give up on him. I tell you that they really like his physical presence. And think that he's got potential here as an undrafted rookie free agent. Keep in mind, you're not losing anything here. I think they'll just continue to give him the benefit of the doubt. Paul says, John, great win for the Pats despite the jitters toward the end. The Wookiees looked better, and there are plenty of reasons for optimism. Wookiees. Thank you. Then my nitpick is Gostkowski's field goal in the second quarter that went over the top of the post. If you recall, on Thursday, I predicted 27-23 Pats. Oh, here we go, Kev. The whining has begun. A heroic goal line stand inside the last 2 minutes. I was an inch away from that yearbook. Well, the rule is that the football has to be clearly inside the goalposts. So they would not have called that good if it wasn't clearly inside the goalposts from the official's point of view. And he is on the goalpost in the end zone looking straight up at the pole so he can make that call. So if he says it's good, it's good. The angle that you may have seen it, Paul, would have been the television camera angle, probably from the other end zone. And obviously, it's going to look somewhat askew. It just is. Ha ha. See, I also had somebody else on Facebook as well, Paul, say that, hey, I only missed by a point. I predicted 31-23. Okay, that's great. Like I said earlier, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades and nuclear bombs. I'll give you that one. But that's it. Everything else is good. All right, that puts us, that's going to be our final one of the program here. Yeah. John Cherry. Thank you, John. Yes, you were correct about that. He just sent the email in that I just got. He says, giving him the business official was Ron Cherry. Correct. All right, that's going to put a wrap on the playbook for today. Tomorrow, what do we got? You told me earlier, Kevin. I got to call this up here. Hold on. Or you, unless you know it right off the top of your head.
Alex Marvez.
Thank you. Alex Marvez from Fox Sports is going to come on the program. We're going to get his viewpoint on some of this national perspective, all right? So if you've kind of had it, you know, in the gut, sticking there for a while about a lack of respect for the New England Patriots, especially now that they are one of the five unbeaten teams through 4 weeks, they're only ranked fourth in the power rankings. If you really like to see your team be elevated somewhat, we're going to find out from a national perspective why the Patriots are thought of the way they're thought of.
We are efforting Dan Hord, your buddy too, the voice of the Bengals,
of the Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow as well. We hopefully will have him, and then of course Eric Scalavino will be back as well. So we've got an action packed program tomorrow. You will not, I said. We'll want to miss that one because we'll turn the page and get more toward the Bengals, who are coming in at 2-2 now. And the fact is that even though the game is on the road, I thought the Bengals would be 3-1, and this would be a matchup for potential supremacy in the AFC somewhere down the line. Now this is going to turn into more of a sense of emergency for the Bengals. They lost to Cleveland. That's right, and only scored 6 points in doing it. Let me assure you of something. The Bengals will be loaded for bear, just like Atlanta was. Yes, I understand. Atlanta was in the same position, back against the wall, and look what the Patriots did in Atlanta. But it'll be the same situation, I think, in Cincinnati as well. Question is, does Cincinnati have more than Atlanta has? And we'll start to examine that tomorrow and Thursday here in the playbook. Fantasy football guys are coming up next. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Same patch time, same patch channel, mañana, 2 p.m. Eastern, in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.